I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to yet another episode of Mom and Doc Talk. We are here to answer a really tough question that doesn't have a clear-cut answer, but we're going to do our best today, which we should be used to at this point, right, Jody? Everything in Pans and Pandas is, here's the general, here's an overview, and your kid might be completely different or the exact opposite of what we talk about here. There's so much challenge where we have the overlap between pans and life. And one of the challenges that I've always faced dealing in the mental health realm, and there's, you know, obviously a lot of mental health aspects in Pans Pandas, that there's so much in the mental health realm that are extensions of normal. And it's that question of when has it tipped over from normal human experience to pathologic human experience or problematic human experience that can get a little tricky. And depending on the perspective of the person who's looking at it, it's going to look a little bit different. And for some reason, I feel like I need to share that this is one of the, it's a challenge that I have been aware of in my life and that has helped and harmed me in a few ways, that if we're not aware that we deal with something, and how many of us have full awareness? It takes a lot of work. There's a whole reason that there's people whose jobs it are is to help us bring awareness to ourselves and the things that we do and how we are. That if we don't have awareness of ways that we struggle that might not be the healthiest, we're not going to perceive other people who have similar struggles as having struggles. We're going to just say, this is normal, or this is just the way things are, right? And so I had that experience. It took me a while to finally realize that I likely had PANS, not a terrible case of PANS, but likely had PANS as a child. It escalated to something much worse as I got older, as it tends to do for a lot of people. And the, you know, in the last year, understanding that I've had ADHD my whole life, and I didn't understand ADHD and didn't have compassion for ADHD because it was just, I didn't know I had it. Nobody had ever caught it with me, as so many girls in particular, it doesn't get caught in. And that I didn't understand it to the same degree because I had my own personal experience that reflected ADHD and just like, well, everybody, I remember you telling me one time, like the first time that I was like, oh, wait, do I maybe need to pay attention to this? Was actually a conversation with you, Jody. I don't know if you know this.
Mm-mm.
I think you were flying out here for something and you were telling me about the difficulty that you have in airports and how you can't really focus on anything because any conversation that's happening around you, and airports in particular, there's lots of conversations happening near you and with the loudspeaker and everything, that it was so distracting to you. And I was like, well, duh, it is for everybody. And apparently that's not true. But that was the first time that I was like, wait a minute, you're sharing something that is that you associate with ADHD or ADD, and that I also very much relate to.
Yeah.
And I just explained mine away. I was like, oh, it's because of my job I used to have. It was like, and what I did, like, I'm tuned into other conversations and not just necessarily the things around me. I get pulled to those. And I found lots of excuses and explanations for it that weren't ADHD.
Yeah. I think lots of people get distracted in that setting where like for me, where it's like so overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's like all like I can't have it in an airport because I hear everything and I like little carts carrying people are zooming by and people's luggage is zooming by and all of it's like, oh my gosh, like it's all so much to me that I have a really difficult time. Like I have to look at my phone 4,000 times to figure out what gate I'm going to. Okay. And I get like freaked out about small things that I shouldn't get freaked out about, but it's just because my like brain and whole body feel overwhelmed.
Yeah. But this ties into what we're talking about today, which is trying to figure out what is my kid versus what is a symptom, right? Like, when do I need to accept that this is just who they are as a person or how they're wired versus this is a symptom that we can expect to improve with homeopathy or anything else for that matter, right? And so the challenge for this is the recognition of the overlap between normal human experience and the PANS PANDAS experience. It makes it even harder because for so many kids, they get PANS PANDAS when they're so young that they haven't necessarily fully developed who they're going to be. Do you want to talk about anything with like your mom experience first, or do you want me to just dive into like, here's my general way of figuring out where we're at?
Well, I think what you just said is very valuable because like with Avery, she was 4 going on 5, PANS hit. So like, I didn't really know like what type of little like human she was going to be. Mm-hmm. Like she's still growing and developing and all those things that happen in the 5, 6, 7, 8, like where they're getting their personalities and they're getting their habits and all of those things. I didn't know what it was supposed to be like.
Yeah. So from a homeopathy perspective, specifically when we're dealing with PANS PANDAS, homeopathy is not going to make you a superhuman. It's not going to make you different than who you are at your core. It's not going to make you different than how you're wired. So you can't use homeopathy to biohack something. We're not going to use it like a nootropic to make you expand your IQ or to need less sleep than you actually need or to have more energy than your general capacity is going to have. We're also going to have our ways that we're wired for a tendency toward being a more depressed person versus a more anxious person versus a more angry person. Because while we don't all get to the point of depression or generalized anxiety, we all have smaller degrees. Those are all, they're extensions of normal emotions, right? So you might have someone who tends to be on the more sad or melancholy side, or you might be somebody who, when you're not doing your best, you're on the more anxious side, or even you at your best is an anxious wreck for somebody else who just has a different personality, different way that they're wired. There might be somebody who seems like they're angry all the time and like, what are you so upset about? Oh, I'm not upset. I'm perfectly happy. What are you talking about? Like, you just sounded so angry. So there's different ways that we're going to be wired, and homeopathy is not going to change the way that we are innately wired. What homeopathy will change is departures from that, from how we are innately wired, our departures from how we are at our best, right? So if I happen to be somebody, so for instance, I know one of the examples that I know you want to give or we can talk about is type A versus like type B or whatever. I am not innately a type A person. So the more type A I look, the more homeopathy is going to actually help with it. So if I look type A, I'm not in my state of my best health. I'm not at myself. So we're going to be able to see that this departure where I am more type A is me being unwell. And that's something homeopathy can help with. You're going to see somebody who is a type A person when they are just like, whatever, I don't care. What, you know, whatever. That's not them doing better. Just because I think that's better, that's a better version of me, that's not a better version of them. That's a departure for them. So what is pathological in one person is healthy in another. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh. I feel like you just like unlocked another layer of Avery saying that.
Oh, did I?
Because like when she has a departure from her type A self, it's been at her most unhealthy moments.
Yeah.
And like that makes so much sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So homeopathy, when it's a departure, so it can be part of who you are. It could also be somebody who is type A, but when they become type A double plus, that can also be a departure. So it can go either direction. So I can be more of like a type A minus to type B person that is just like, okay, whatever, it's good enough. Let's move on. Like, I'm fine. To like, I just don't even care at all. That is going to be a departure just as much as me getting super type A is going to be a departure. So when we're dealing with something with PANS where we're seeing a complete shift in who a person is, that is something homeopathy can help with. Another way to really look at this, especially when we're dealing with the younger kids that maybe we just haven't really figured out who they are yet, you know, because I think about my daughter who is a very just a happy kid. You know, we went shopping the other day and she's skipping along through Target to head to something. She's just a generally pretty happy kid with moments where she's scared or nervous or angry or sad. But most part, she's a happy kid. Is that going to last forever? I don't, probably not. Probably, she's not, probably not going to make it through puberty and just be happy to skip through Target, you know? So I don't know who she's going to land into as she gets more mature with more responsibilities and all the things that sort of take us into away from what we would ideally all want to be. We would all love to be so happy. We just want to skip through Target all the time, right? But what a disaster would that lead the world to be if nobody was ever doing anything but skipping through Target and singing K-pop Demon Hunters?
Oh, no.
So the challenge that we see with the young kids, when we don't really know who they're going to develop into, we have to look at the fluctuations that occur with homeopathy versus the things that are static. Mm-hmm. And so when we start to see that, so maybe you're in the place where your kid is a more anxious person. And with PANS, their anxiety is through the roof, cannot sleep alone, will not let you out of their sight, afraid of everything, afraid of their own shadow, literally. We're going to see that start to improve with homeopathy, along with other symptoms, along with the cognitive regression, along with the rage that comes because of the anxiety being challenged. We're going to see the fixed and intrusive thoughts that are going to start to lessen their grip. We're going to see the urinary frequency improve. We're going to see the constipation, the migraines, whatever it happens to be. We're going to see all those things start to improve, not all at the same time, but we're going to see things moving together more or less. At some point, we're going to see, well, all these things are getting better, but she's still just like kind of anxious, like just nervous going into new social situations or wanting to have a lot of preparation before a school exam or a school presentation, whatever it might be. And that's not changing, even though these other symptoms are changing. That's when we're starting to get some insight into what might just be part of how they're wired.
Yeah. I feel like I should put a frame around all of this to make it a little bit easier to see. Avery was a kind of more regimented kid before PANS. Definitely might have a very type A husband. I was definitely starting to see some type A tendency, just real rule follower, like to be on a schedule, stuff like that. Nothing really big. And then PANS happened, and her PANS symptoms were like an explosion of these type A things. So the treatments that we do end up in homeopathy, start homeopathy, and homeopathy is starting to shift some of this. And then the further we go, the more it gets better, 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 back to what Avery was like before, but also now Avery's older. So she's kind of grown more into herself. I remember towards the end of her healing journey, I was so stuck on, because I felt like homeopathy had made Avery superhuman because she was such a better version of her PANS self.
You always call her Avery 2.0.
Avery 2.0. So I was still fighting for certain things that I just knew homeopathy was going to change. I knew eventually homeopathy was going to allow her to ease up on herself when it came to how good she needed her grades to be. I thought that it would really like kind of help her just like relax and enjoy life a little bit more. And I thought that like you're talking about, Avery's a little bit more, she runs a little bit more anxious. She comes from a family full of people that run a little bit more anxious. I needed homeopathy to get rid of every single ounce of that. Mm-hmm. And I stayed that way for a while, and I was causing my own suffering because what I wasn't really recognizing is that homeopathy had brought Avery back to health, and her personality, the way that she related to the world, the way that she interacts with the world, those things were all still there. And thank God they were all still there because it's who she is. Part of the problem is I am like, woo, fly by the seat of my pants. Like, let's go with my ADD whim that I have every 20 mm-hmm. seconds. And let's just go and do it and see what happens. That's completely opposite of my husband mm-hmm. and Avery. And so Avery still, like, she puts so much pressure on herself for grades. And mm-hmm. I used to see that as a horrible, awful symptom because she's causing stress and she's doing, and she's not. She just has really high expectations of herself. her energy. If I'm Avery has always been a sort of lower energy child. Pans like tanked it. And then after homeopathy, she was back to kind of like normal lower energy. But I think part of the issue is I've always compared her to little sister, and little sister is a super high energy kid and Avery's a lower energy kid. There's nothing wrong with where Avery is. It's just very different. But I kept thinking like homeopathy is going to like eventually make her to where she has a lot more energy and she has a lot more capacity and all of these things. And it's just, it's who she is. And it's how, you know, it's how she was intended to be. And homeopathy didn't take that away. But my mind was completely set on the fact that those were symptoms that needed to be resolved.
Right. I think one of the things that we have to look at as adults and particularly as parents is that we want our kids to not have any hardship, right? We want any kid to not have any hardship. We want them to not have to go through any of the things that we ever went through, even though they're necessary parts of life. And hardships are help us. Hardships are what help us grow into who we are. They help us gain empathy. They help us gain perspective. They help us learn resilience. They help us learn coping strategies. We wouldn't be able to handle anything, that the things that just come up in life, if we didn't have small hardships along the way, small difficulties and challenges along the way. I think we also have some of our own expectations too, where we either want to, if we see something that is like what we experience in ourselves that we might not like, we might struggle with, you know, just because it's part of how you're wired doesn't mean you like it. Especially if you're wired in a way, hello, all of us ADHD folks. When you're wired in a way that doesn't connect with the way that a current, like your job, your school, society, or whatever is set up for, that you have to figure out and work your way within it, being the way that you are, we want to either remove the suffering that we see in ourselves from our kids. We want to get rid of it for them. And so we will sometimes project some of our own hardship and trauma onto our children, which inadvertently makes it harder than it had to be, because we then accidentally teach them this is something that you should fight against instead of something that's just part of how you are or something you learn to work with. We also can have some expectations too of like, they should be like this. I want this for them. This is how I want them to be. And we don't get to choose who or how they are.
Yeah.
You know?
That whole like extension of the letting go of control that we have to do.
Yeah.
And letting our kids grow into the humans that they're supposed to be.
Yeah. It's so interesting to me as I reflect on like the things that you are trying to navigate with your two very different girls. You've got a little bit of both, right? You've got a little bit of, you want Avery to more like you in some ways, because you would be miserable in some of the ways that she is just at her best. It would not work for you. And so you see it and you imagine your own misery and your own suffering that would come if you were in that space. And so you want to help her from that. And then you, on the flip side, you see your other daughter and you see all the things that she's got that are so much more like you than dad. And you think of the suffering you did have and you want to make it go away. Mm-hmm. And can come out on both sides too, right? Both from the things that you wish were more like you and the ways you wish they were less like you. And trying to make this perfect version that takes all of the best things about you and that's all they get, and not have any challenges along the way that are, of course, going to come from you if they came from you. And even if they didn't, even if they're not biologically related, they're still in your environment. And there's nature and nurture that influences how people become and who they become.
Yeah, I think it comes from a really good spot, though. Like,
moms,
like, just want to make it easier on them. I'm like, I need one child to come down here and I need the other one to come up here and be right in the middle, and their life will be easier right here in the middle, but then they're not going to live the life that they were intended to live and do all the cool, amazing things that they will do. Stop controlling things, Jody.
All of us. So I guess to recap, there's probably going to be some things that feel like symptoms or that are milder versions of things that were truly symptoms in PANS PANDAS that might just be part of how your kids are. The way you're most likely going to see that is when they start to stay pretty static through multiple different remedies or potencies while other things are changing. And when they're at like a more mild version, but still like not really truly interfering in life. You know, somebody can have social anxiety and still go and be social. So social anxiety is not necessarily something to eliminate. It would be great if we could just eliminate that for everybody, but it might be something that's a little bit present for people. It's going to be persistent and we work through it. It's as long as we are working through, we're able to do what we need to do to be able to continue on and go out in life. I mean, even just the socialization, sometimes people want, oh, I want them to have 10,000 friends. Okay. Maybe they want one. And maybe that's what makes them feel good. And they don't feel connected if they've got 10,000. Or maybe someone, you know, oh my God, they've got so many friends. How do they have any really deep friendships? Well, maybe they need 10,000 because that's how they're wired versus feeling like they can actually get what they need from social connections through one person, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So, all right. Your kids are great.
I know they are. They're perfect just the way they
are. All of them. Everybody who's listening, your kids are great. Your kids are great, even if they have struggles. Yeah. They will have struggles because they're humans. They're great little humans. They can recover from PANS PANDAS. They will have blips when hard things happen. You're going to see a little bit more of how they are when they're struggling. And when they've recovered with homeopathy, they'll bounce back for the most part without needing anything else. It'll be a hard day or two. They'll bounce back and everything will get back on track. So the variety is necessary. Like I said, just imagine. Imagine a world with nothing but zephyrs bouncing around Target singing K-pop Demon Hunters, trying to drive carts and banging into everything. It would be chaos because nobody would ever pick anything up because we'd be like, that's fine, move on. Where's the
That's literally Avery's worst nightmare right there.
Which is why she will not want to go shopping with Zephyr anytime in the near future. So, but Zephyr and Gwen could have a big party.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They would be singing down the aisles together.
Yes. All right. We'll leave it on that with whatever K-pop Demon Hunter song is now stuck in your head. You're welcome. All right. Thanks, everybody.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.